Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Well, this morning, if you want to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3, that's where we're going to be hanging out this morning. As you're turning in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 3, I want you to take a moment today as you're flipping through the pages of your scripture or flipping to it on your device. I want you to take a moment this morning to reflect on the best rest that you've ever experienced in your life. Pastor Ed's coming off a vacation, right? And I got a little picture up here on the screen. You can barely see it, but it's my puppy dog. Laying down on our living room floor. I want you to think about the best rest you've ever experienced in your life. The kind of sleep where there's no worry, there's no dreams. I made Jack Davis have a bad dream last week about preaching sermons and not having a sermon ready. Sorry. I apologize. No bad dreams, just deep quality rest. And when you wake up, you're not sore because your neck was or your back was a certain way, but you just feel rested and you feel good and you feel strengthened. And I'm not talking about some sort of emotional high this morning, or I'm not talking about spiritual mountaintops. Those are discussions for a different time. I'm talking about rest. I'm talking about rest. For me, my best night's sleep almost every week is Friday night going into Saturday morning. The best night's sleep, because I've usually worked six straight days. In a typical week, I'll push pretty hard. Sometimes Pastor Vicky gives me the business and says I work too hard. But I push pretty hard through the week. On top of my role as your pastor, as we co-pastor here together with you, I also have a full-time job, and that full-time job is full of stress. I have deadlines that are involved in my job. Unexpected challenges come up every day. Crisis on a regular basis. There's a crisis a day, maybe a couple, every day in the line of work that I am. And the stakes are really high. They're really high stakes in a lot of these different things because I work for a big corporation. And the people are difficult. Yeah, it's really probably the people that makes it so exasperating. But in the midst of all those things that make it stressful, I love it. I get energized by it. I it's like where my gifts and graces play. I love it, but it's exhausting. It is totally exhausting. So on Friday night, it is the one night of the week that I typically don't have a crisis facing me the next morning. Don't have to check my email on Friday night, usually. So I have to worry about it. I can take a little break. I know I can sleep in on Saturday morning if I want to. Hallelujah. This Saturday, yesterday, I had the opportunity to sleep in. I was up at 6:45. Happens some of the time. And that Friday night, it is the moment farthest from Sunday morning. It's the farthest moment from Sunday morning for me. When my work cycle starts back up. So it's the farthest point in time from when my work cycle, it starts back up. And so, you know, one of my favorite Friday nights, by the way, is coming up this next Friday night. One of my favorite Friday nights when the sleep is the sweetest and I really get good rest is on a Friday before a week of vacation. Woo! I'm looking forward to that. It's on that Friday before a week of vacation, I usually reflect and I savor this special Friday, be thinking about me. It's going to be joyous. It's going to be great because it is the farthest from any work for me for more than a week. Hallelujah. Sounds good, doesn't it? So times of rest, times of great rest. I want you to be thinking about this morning. There are other times of rest, air quotes, that I've experienced in my life when huge burdens have been lifted. You know what I'm talking about, when a huge burden has been lifted from my spirit. I recall back in 2006, when I was a young lad, I was supposed to be a joke. I can recall way back in 2006, I completed my final course of my master's degree program. I had been studying for 2 years solid. And when you go through a master's degree program online, there is no summer vacation. So you're going all the time for 2 years through an online program. I was doing online master's degree higher education. I think I was probably in the early years of when that was actually a thing. But I did it actually through Northwest Nazarene University, one of our Nazarene schools. And for 2 years, there was very little margin in my life. I would get up at 6:30 in the morning and I would go to work. And I would work from probably 7:30 until about 5:30 in the evening. And then I would get in my car and it's a 40-minute drive home. And I'd get home around 6 or 6:30, usually something like that. The boys were young. Drew was just a little kid at the time. And my other sons were just hitting their teenage years. And we'd spend maybe 3 or 4 hours together. We'd eat dinner together. And the boys would go off to bed because they'd have to go to school the next day usually. And when they went to bed, I crawled into my office. And from 9 o'clock in the evening until about 1:30 in the morning, I studied. I did that for 2 years. From 8:30 in the morning until about midnight or 1:30 in the morning, I'd go to bed, I'd get up, and I'd go do it all over again. And when I completed that last course, when I turned in my last assignment, and by the way, I got all A's in my master's program. Got all A's. I rocked it out. It was awesome, and I learned a lot. It changed my mind. It changed my heart. But the moment I got done with that final course, I had such a sense of relief. Oh my goodness, I was done. I'd done it. Victory is mine. It was a huge achievement in my life. I had always had the goal. I wanted to get my master's degree. It's a big deal for me. It was a big step in my preparation for ministry. Had I not gone through those 2 years, I don't think I'd be here with you at Maplewood today. And as I reflected in those first few hours, those first few days of freedom, basking in this relief, the only thing I could think of was, now I can read anything I want to read. I can do whatever I want to do now. I had just spent 2 years of reading what somebody else wanted me to read, and now I was free from that yoke. I was free from that burden. Relief. Rest. Relief. One other example I can think of is of this deep rest, this really good rest, was when I transitioned from working from a statewide elected office holder. You may not have known that about me, but at one point in time, many, many moons ago, I worked for one of our statewide elected office holders for about 5 years. Most stressful job I've ever had in my life. As a matter of fact, Pastor Vicky said it changed me. Changed my personality. Amen? For the better? She won't answer that question this morning. Most stressful job I'd ever had. It was challenging and it was unending. It never ended. And I remember my first 6 months in that job, I lost 15 pounds. It was just so stressful. I lost weight from the stress and the anxiety. And I literally, over time, I had to acclimate to the stress level. I had to acclimate to the stress level. We've got some folks here who served in the military. You've actually been in the heat of battle, and I never have, and God bless you for that. We respect you and thank you for your service. I've never served in the military, but I like to read about history now that I'm done with that master's program. But I've read a lot of accounts about men and women who have engaged in the heat of battle, and a lot of you get a lot of this firsthand testimony from our veterans that you simply just adjust to the stress that comes with somebody shooting at you. You never get over being afraid, but you adjust, you acclimate to it. And did you know our bodies adapt to stress? Our bodies adapt to stress. A lot of times we have stress in our life. That stress causes our blood pressure to go up. Your blood pressure is going up because your body is trying to compensate for all that stress. You've got adrenaline flowing through your body. Our bodies, we physically actually adapt to stress. And in that job, I had to acclimate to the stress. I had a pretty decent sized staff in that job, and managing the people, again, the people were as stressful as anything else that was involved in that job. And I remember for over a year praying to the Lord about, release me from this. You know, I'm ready for the next thing. And there nothing came up on the horizon from an employment perspective. There were just no opportunities. And I waited and I waited and I waited. And I finally landed an opportunity to move to the company that I'm at now. And I remember my last evening on that job, leaving my office across the street from the State House for the last time. And I remember feeling just such an incredible sense of release, rest, relief, release. I remember walking across the street to the State House garage, getting in my car. Before I ever started the car up, I cried like a baby. I was free. I was free. It was a great experience. I would do it all over again in a heartbeat. Most exciting job that I've ever had. Most stressful job that I've ever had. But boy, I was glad to be released from that role. The burden of that role had been lifted from me. And the rest of that night, the next day or two before I went and started that next job, got some really sweet rest. Some sweet relief. Sweet release. And I want to spend just a few moments with you this morning talking about rest and relief and release. Rest, relief, release. Rest and relief and release, they're all vital ingredients. These are all really vital ingredients that contribute to our ability to become whole and holy. We need rest. We need relief. We need release if we're to be whole people. And we need rest and relief and release if we're to be holy people as God intended. We've been sizing up what the concept of Sabbath is all about over the past several weeks, and we've hit on a couple of key points. We're designed for Sabbath. It's in our DNA. We covered that a couple of weeks ago. We're designed for Sabbath. Last week we talked about how we're designed for Sabbath, but Sabbath is a choice. Even though we're designed for it, it doesn't mean it automatically happens. We have to choose. We have to be intentional if we're going to incorporate Sabbath, rest, relief, release into our lives. We need to embrace the Sabbath in our lives if we're to become our very best selves. And so I have been challenging us as a faith family to evaluate how well we incorporate the rhythm of Sabbath into our lives. Because you see, we can't be shepherds for our flocks. We can't be the people God called us to be if we're not at our best. Amen. So we need to make sure we're doing the things that God set up, that God designed in our DNA, in our spiritual DNA, in our physical DNA, so we can get the rest and the release and the relief that we need so that we can be all that God intended us to be. He intended for us to be whole and holy. Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 this week, it introduces us to a stream of thinking that really has been on my heart since I started thinking about this sermon series way back in April. Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, we're introduced to this thought pattern that helps us understand really the final point of this series this morning. Sabbath isn't just a day to be observed. Amen. It's not just a day to be observed. Sabbath is a lifestyle to be embraced. If you're a follower of Jesus, Sabbath isn't just a day. It's not just Sunday when we go to church. Sabbath is a lifestyle. And I want you to see that here in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. I want to read this for you real quick. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did." Quoting the scripture from the Old Testament, speaking about the nation of Egypt being, or the nation of Israel being released from Egypt, from captivity, wandering around in the desert for 40 years. In verse 10, The Lord says, that is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray. Their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Those are some harsh, harsh words. The Hebrew writer goes on, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but instead encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We've come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter into his rest because of their unbelief. Scriptures are preaching at us this morning, aren't they? You just read the word and it's a sermon. Then if we skip forward just a little bit to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, he keeps going on with this concept about disbelief and this Sabbath rest that he keeps on talking about, the Hebrew writer does. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, one of my favorite passages in Scripture, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. I'm going to read that again. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter into that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. This struggle that we have with embracing Sabbath, folks, it is very real. This struggle to embrace Sabbath in our lives appropriately the way God intended, it goes all the way back to creation, to the creation of humanity. This struggle, the nation of Israel struggled with it. We struggle with it today. Well, it is very hard. We've said this over the past couple of weeks. It is very hard for us to rest or find rest. Rest, relief, release, they sound so good. We think we'll find it on a beach or in the mountains. And sometimes we do. We find a little bit of it. But it's really hard to find that rest, that release, that relief in today's society. As I read these passages this morning, just a couple of things that stick out to me that I just want to kind of highlight for you with a little highlight marker. The first thing that stuck out to me, sin and disobedience block us from truly being able to enter into the Sabbath rest that God intends for us. Sin and disobedience. So sin might be willfully doing something that we know is morally wrong. Disobedience may be that, or it may be not doing what God's telling you to do in your life. How's God speaking to you these days? Where is he pointing you? Little voices in our heads telling us to go home, right? Are we obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives? If the Holy Spirit's speaking in our lives and saying, go this way, but we're going that way, we will never be able to enter into Sabbath rest. So sometimes it's that sinful, moral, just raise my fist in rebellion to God. But sometimes, folks, what causes us to not be able to find Sabbath rest is when we are not being obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit that's speaking into our very hearts. We're listening to other voices. I'll do that later. And we wonder why. We wonder why we can find no rest or relief or release, because we're not engaging where God wants us to engage in our lives. Sin and disobedience, they block us from being able to embrace Sabbath rest. And these words in Hebrews, they're a warning to God's people. They're a warning to God's people who are seeking that rest, relief, and release. We're never going to find what we're looking for. With sin or disobedience lingering in our life, we're never going to find true rest. We're never going to find true relief. We're never going to find sweet release. If there are undealt things in our hearts and minds that we need to square up with the Lord, or if there are places he's pointing us to go that we're just refusing to be obedient about. And the real danger for people in the church is that we get so used to hearing this message week after week. And the danger for people who are following Jesus, who know they should be going this way, but they decide to go that way instead, every time we disobey, every time we fail to acknowledge and engage in where God guides us to, you know what happens? Our hearts get a little harder. It gets a little harder to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So in the church, we run into this danger of coming back and coming back and coming back, but holding back and holding back and holding back. And every time we hold back, we lose a little bit of our spiritual hearing. We almost need hearing aids to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Be careful, church. This is a warning for us today. Sin or disobedience will block you from being able to enter into that rest and that relief and that release that God wants for us. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Second point this morning, and these will go really fast. I only got three. Sabbath rest is deeper than a good night's rest and a good sermon. I don't know where to tell you to find a good sermon. There's lots of them out there. But Sabbath rest is better than a good night's rest and a good sermon. It's more than that. It's deeper than that. The Sabbath rest that I think the Hebrews writer is referring to here, it's a different kind of rest. I don't want us to just get caught up in thinking about physical or mental or emotional rest. Sleep is one kind of rest. Peace is one kind of rest. Stillness is a kind of rest. Vacation is a kind of rest. Salvation is the only kind of rest that leads to wholeness and holiness. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean by that, Pastor? Entering into Sabbath rest with God is so much deeper than just a day of the week, giving him a day of the week. When we enter into the Sabbath rest that God intends us to enter into, don't miss this. When we enter into the Sabbath rest, we're no longer running from punishment. We're running from our past, trying to get away from the Damocles sword that's swinging back and forth, that we feel swinging back and forth in our life. When we enter into Sabbath rest, we're no longer running from punishment. We're no longer striving to prove our value. We're no longer ashamed of our guilt. That's what Sabbath rest is. We're not running from those things anymore. When we truly enter into Sabbath rest, we embrace holiness with all trust in the Father. Do you trust him this morning? Well, when we truly enter Sabbath rest, we embrace comfort with all ease. It's not hard. We just let go, let God. We embrace protection with no fear. We just know that he's got us shielded. He's protecting us. And when we embrace Sabbath rest, when we really let go and let God have his way, that's when we're able to experience the sweetest rest, the most satisfying relief from our burdens, and a release from that which binds us. Nothing in this world can compare to that type of rest. Do you know that type of peace this morning? Do you know that type of rest in Christ? Final point this morning. You look at this passage, we kind of dig into what the Hebrew writer says. It's deeper than a good sermon. It's deeper than just taking the day off on Sunday. Sabbath rest, we can't get there if we've got sin and disobedience in our lives. Third point this morning, the Hebrew writer helps us see that Sabbath isn't just about Sunday. Don't miss this. I need you to be here right now. okay? Because you're like, okay, I got to go somewhere. I got to be to my next place. Be here with me right now. Amen?
Amen.
Sabbath rest is, it's not just about Sunday. It's about today. Now. Capital T in the scripture. It's about today. Sabbath rest transcends Sunday. It is a peace that passes understanding that goes with us day in and day out, not just on Sunday, but every day.
Ooh,
the piano mic got blessed. And as I read this passage this morning, there's one verse that pops out to me that underscores the reality of what I'm trying to say with this. Verse 13, I believe it's verse 13 of chapter 3. It says, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. We're part of the body of Christ. Encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. How do we keep a soft heart, a pliable heart? Encourage one another. We can't do this alone. We Sabbath. In some ways, we Sabbath together. Encourage one another as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. And I don't know about you, but sometimes my confidence wanes, and I need to reel it back in and reset my hook before I flip it back in the water so I can go catch me some fish. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, don't let your hearts be hardened. Doesn't say, encourage one another daily as long as it's called Sunday. Doesn't say that in the scriptures. No, he says, encourage one another today, encourage one another daily as long as it's called today with a capital T. A capital T. I really think the point here is that followers of Jesus, as followers of Jesus, we can enjoy the benefits of Sabbath rest daily, even today, every day, if we're in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. We can enjoy Sabbath rest every day if we're in a right relationship with Jesus. It is the fulfillment of the original design. We talked about the original design a couple of weeks ago. In the Old Testament, and even the Pharisees in the Gospels, they were focused on observing a day. It was all built around observing a day. But in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament design. Jesus offers Sabbath rest 24/7, 365 for those who are his followers, for those who are in him. True Sabbath rest. If we reset in this Sabbath rest and see it's a lifestyle, it's not a day, I think it provides the foundation for us to have the power and poise to deal with the things that are happening in our lives. Gives us the power and poise to deal with crisis. Gives us the power and the poise to experience joy to new levels in our lives. Just makes life better in our lives. Simply put, Sabbath rest, it's a lifestyle that is meant to lead to our wholeness and our holiness. And I'll just wrap things up here for you this morning. Just got a couple questions. Are you weary? Are you tired of running? Are you tired of running from task to task with no end? Never ends. Are you tired of running from your past? Are you seeking rest, relief, and release unlike anything this world has to offer? Come to Jesus. Come back to him. Come back to Jesus. Believe in him. Recommit to him. You can do it. The opportunity is right in front of you, folks. It's right in front of us. 100% surrender to him. Let go. Let God. Do you really trust him today? Are you being obedient to all that he's calling you to do in your life? Or are you resisting? It's time to get in line. It's time to embrace His will for our lives. It is the best self-care that will you'll find in the marketplace. Not something you can buy in a store. It is the best thing you can do for your own mental health. It is the best thing you can do for your soul, is to keep coming back to Jesus, keep surrendering to Him, and ask Him, Lord, is there any place in my life where maybe there's willful sin that I've been tolerating, or is there anywhere in my life where You've been calling me where I need to speak and I need to be obedient, but I've been resistant? Either of those folks are going to block us from experiencing true rest, relief, and release, so we can become whole, and so we can become holy.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.